Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the first ever episode of the Overtime Heroics NBA podcast. I'm your co-host, Nick, here with Tyler and Philip. We're going to be covering everything in NBA, everything and anything regarding the NBA for Overtime Heroics. We are the official NBA podcast. First, let's get started with some of the recent news of Chris Paul and being traded to Oklahoma City for Russell Westbrook in exchange for Chris Paul and a couple picks. Tyler, I know you're a big Thunder fan. Walk through from their perspective what that means for that trade. Bye to Russ.
Man, it's tough, man, because like I said, he's been there for the whole time the Thunder have been in existence, man. So that's 11 years, and just I've seen him grow and mature, and it's just going to be tough to watch him in a different uniform, man. But that's today's NBA. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, and kind of go through what the Thunder have been doing. This is the second big trade where they've gathered, I think it's, what, 8 picks now they've had in the past 2 trades they've gathered?
Yeah, 8 picks or something like that. It's just awesome what they're doing right now. They've just said, you know what, this isn't working. It's just we have so much – we're over the cap so much, and I think we should just rebuild from the
– Yeah, for sure. And
young talent. Philip,
from the Rockets' perspective, you get the all-star MVP point guard in Russell Westbrook. What's their mindset going forward with the rest of going into their season?
Yeah, for the Rockets, I think it's about just upgrading that position to hopefully just progress past, because in the past few years in the playoffs, it's been really rough for them. So any step they could take to hopefully make a leap over the Lakers, Clippers, or Warriors maybe, that will help them.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we talked about this, is that there's so many Western Conference teams that have gotten progressively better this offseason. Obviously, the Lakers and Clippers. But the Utah Jazz have made big moves. The Trailblazers have made some really nice moves. The Nuggets have a really stacked team. So the Rockets had to do something to stay relevant in the West. We've talked about this before off air. I don't think this trade ends up working out. I think both – they're going to win games. Obviously, they're going to make the playoffs. They're too good to not do that. But Russ and Harden are two ball-heavy, ball-dominant driving forces that don't like sharing the ball. And when they were at the Thunder, you know, back in the heyday of the Thunder, Harden came off the bench. You know, he didn't actually play a lot with Russ, except when they're in, you know, game-time decisions down in the stretch. But they didn't play a lot together. So how does that look for you guys with this team of, you know, very ball-dominant guards?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Russ shouldn't get 3-point happy, but I mean, it's just going to be two guys who have ISO ball, and then they, you know, they shoot 3-pointers too, and Russ isn't like that, so it's going to be interesting how it's going to work out.
Yeah, off of that, I would say that, you know, watching James Harden play a lot of games last year because of the show he was putting on, it's going to be really interesting because Russ is not a 3-point shooter. So when Harden is in his ISO game and he's trying to take over the game, does Russ even count as a guy on the floor? Because the Rockets have spot up shooters kind of going 5 out around the sides. And when Russ can't shoot the 3 ball, it's going to be hard for them to score.
Yeah, I think that's one thing they're going to miss with Chris Paul, you know, leaving, is that 3-point shooting ability from their point guard, who also — Chris Paul played a lot of 2-guard last year. I mean, James Harden, I don't feel, is a point guard, but the Rockets use him as a point guard. So you had a lot of, you know, ISOs where James dribbled, drove the lane, kicked it out to Chris, made a lot of threes. But there's a lot of rumors that the Rockets aren't done. One name that keeps popping up in the Rockets circles for trade options is Andre Iguodala. That's right now currently on the Memphis Grizzlies. I talked about this kind of in the podcast I dropped yesterday called BR Heroics. But a lot of people think Iguodala is being held captive with the Grizzlies. Do you all feel that way? Do you feel like he's kind of being held there against his will? And if not, where do you see him kind of going, either trade-wise or buyout-wise, in the future?
I mean, he's a good trade option for the Grizzlies. I mean, they're a young team, so they got so much young talent, and having a veteran like Iguodala there, it doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah, I don't understand what the big holdup is, especially when there's actually teams lined up for a guy like Iguodala waiting to be traded, teams like the Lakers and the Rockets, you said. So it's a little bit confusing why they're kind of keeping him captive.
Yeah, and I think y'all both know this. I mean, I'm a Memphis guy. I'm from there. So I follow the Grizzlies pretty heavily. And one thing that I've kept reading a lot, and I think y'all might be able to attest to this, is the Laker fans on Twitter are just obnoxious. There's so much just in general. Sorry, Laker fans out there. Y'all are a lot. And for me, seeing that the Grizzlies are holding him prisoner is kind of a lot to me. But, yeah, I think Iguodala was traded. I think the Rockets make a lot of sense getting a vet to join that team. I think the Clippers make a lot of sense, too. I don't see the Lakers being able to make that trade. There's just not enough pieces. They would get a buyout situation there. But is there any other teams right now that you think are going to make free agent moves still? I know there's a couple teams that still have some cap space. What teams do you see maybe out there still roaming for some free agents?
I don't know. I think Kevin Love could be traded to the – I think Kevin Love to the Portland Trailblazers would be an interesting move.
Yeah, I think there's a few teams that might – look into the Iguodala trade more just because of he's a great veteran that's shown that he could play in the playoffs. But there's a couple teams that right now are really good who might just be trying to add more bench depth. There's a guy like J.R. Smith out in the market, and any team that could get their hands on Andre will get great value.
Yeah, the Kevin Love trade's interesting. You know, the Cavs seem like they want to keep him, but they don't want to keep him, and there's options out there to trade him. I think there's some teams just kind of waiting to see what the Cavaliers want to do with him. But besides that, some free agents that really popped to my mind is Kyle Korver. J.R. Smith just became a free agent. Those two guys are veteran wings who could easily help a team right now win. Where do you see those two guys landing, J.R. and Kyle?
Well, J.R. could go to go somewhere and play off the bench on somewhere like Indiana or maybe Milwaukee. That would be pretty interesting. Build up their benches a little bit. Or Toronto.
Yeah, I agree with those. I would hope to see either Kyle Korver or JR. I would really hope to see one of them maybe go to the 76ers. That's an interesting team that could always add some more depth to maybe make their case for the Eastern Conference stronger, and they really need shooting.
Yeah, you bring up the 76ers. That's such an interesting place for one of the land. And I think Kyle Korver would make the most sense there. He also would make a lot of sense on the Lakers or the Clippers as a off-the-bench three-point shooter. You know, he's played in those kind of offenses before. And then with JR, there's been reports by ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski that the Lakers are not interested in JR, which surprises me a lot. But I think it's good for JR. I think he ends up with a team like the Rockets, which could bring him off the bench, pair him with some guys there. But I want to put y'all on the spot real quick. So we have these teams starting to formulate. These players are really much we're done with most of the offseason. We've done the draft. We're to the point where teams are forming. Give me y'all's top two teams in each conference. I'll go first. In the Eastern Conference, I think the Bucks are the clear favorite. I don't think there's a team that's really close. You can make the argument for the 76ers, but I don't think they're close. And then I think my second team would actually be the Pacers. I think the Pacers have done a great job of assembling talent around Victor Oladipo. You know, you got Jeremy Lamb. You got Brogdon there from the Bucks. They have some great talent there. And in the West, I think the top two teams right now are Denver. And I think, honestly, the Jazz, for me, are the second team. And I'm going to get some hate from our Overtime Heroics fans here because I didn't put the Clippers or the Lakers there. I think both of those teams are going to struggle to find the rhythm early on. And I think the Jazz and the Nuggets have that already solidified. So I think those two teams will be very good. But I want to hear from, what do you all think? Where do you think that these teams are going to be?
Yeah, I think the Bucks are going to be number one, and then – and I think the Philly is number two. I just think what Philly's built up with the addition of Al Horford is going to mean a lot for that team. And then the Bucks, just they have a strong core with Oladipo and everyone else. So it's a strong team. And my top West team is Denver, and I think that team is just awesome to watch. It's a fun young team. And then I think I'm going to have the Blazers as number two, just because, you know, CJ and Damian Lillard will light it up every night.
Yeah, mine are a little different from your guys. For the Eastern Conference, I would say that I'm pretty confident in the Sixers this year at number one, but the Bucks are right there behind them, obviously. And for the Western Conference, I have to really go, like, after analyzing their team, the Clippers. I feel like they're the best overall team in the league. And the second one in the West, I feel like, is a real toss-up. Like you guys said, Denver, Utah. If LeBron and AD can stay healthy, they can obviously be the second-best team, but I think it's a toss-up.
Yeah, let's dive into the 76ers for a second, because I want to know if y'all thought that they got better or worse this offseason. You know, they lost Jimmy Butler. They lost one of their key components in J.J. Redick. But then they add Al Horford. I mean, they get Tobias Harris back. They still have Ben Simmons there. They still have Joel Embiid there. What are y'all's thoughts on the 76ers? Do they get better this offseason? Do they get worse? Are they kind of the same boat? Where are they at?
I think Al Horford was really stymied in the Brad Stevens offense, because reports were that he was trying to feed Gordon Hayward. So I think Al Horford will want to show that he's the man, and him and Embiid are going to be an awesome duo together.
Yeah, like you said, I think that the addition of Al Horford, me personally, I think that's an amazing addition, because Al Horford in the playoffs has shown that he can play some defense, he can hit a couple of mid-range shots, and that's exactly what the Sixers need. You got to remember, the Sixers last season were one Kawhi bounce away from possibly winning that series. So the Sixers, they did improve by a lot, in my opinion, and I think they're right there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they're still – I think they replaced one All-Star with another one, with Jimmy and Al Horford. I think those two guys just switched. One guy I always forget that they added was, you know, in that Jimmy Butler sign and trade, they added Josh Richardson from the Heat, which a lot of people, I think, weren't paying attention to the Heat this past year just because they weren't amazing. They're kind of a bunch of misfits down there. They don't really, you know, Spoelstra's got them playing well together, but they weren't great. But Josh Richardson, in my mind, was their best player. He's young. He's a two-way guy. He plays well on defense, but he also is good at scoring. He kind of fits into that starting five, but he can also come off the bench. What's y'all's projected win total for the 76ers? For me, it would probably be around 50 games. I think they reached that 50 mark. But where do y'all see the 76ers? What do y'all think is the over-under wins for this year? I'm putting them at about 50, but what do y'all think?
Yeah, I think they could win 50 to 55 games. I think that's doable for them.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think that in the Eastern Conference, there's obviously 50 games to be won, but they got to make sure that they go all 82 games and win against some of those weaker teams. But it's actually interesting you brought up their low-key sign and trade. They got Josh Richardson. I'm actually a big Heat fan, and that was kind of our guy last year, a great 3-and-D guy who can shoot the ball well enough and play amazing defense. So that's a really underrated piece that they got.
Yeah, with Richardson, do you see him going off the bench, or do you think he's that guy that slides into the J.J. Redick role in the starting five?
Yeah, I think he's going to slide into the J.J. Redick role, and I think he's going to do just fine, because there's going to be, you know, so much attention on Simmons driving, Horford and Embiid down low, that Richardson should be able to get a lot of spot-up threes.
Yeah, and I think the 76ers, it's, you know, besides the Bucks, they have the easiest, best chance of being one of those top two teams. Another team in the East that is interesting to me is the Atlanta Hawks, who have had one of the better off seasons, trading up to get DeAndre Hunter in the draft. They also got Cam Reddish in the draft, the guy that fell out into the 10th spot for them. You know, they got Trae Young still. They've traded some pieces around, where they've moved Tyrion Prince. They got Alan Crabb. They moved Bazemore to Portland, and they got like Miles Leonard back, some younger guys. Where do you see that team at? I mean, they have some young pieces. They could possibly make that eighth spot in the East.
Yeah, I think they could possibly make the eighth spot. The only team that's in their way probably is Orlando, but they're right there with Orlando. They have young, a young squad, and like you said, they have Myers Leonard and some pieces in that. So they could possibly compete for the eighth spot.
Yeah, interesting. Right now, they're projected as 32.5. So they had a lot of young players, a lot of rookies on that team. But Trae Young, if he can take that next step, I think that they could easily get to 33 wins.
Yeah, and Collins on that team is underrated to me as a big guy. I mean, he's really a power forward. He played a lot of center last year. But him and Trae just went off last season. They were so underrated just because of how young they were, and Trae became the runner-up for the Rookie of the Year award. So there's a lot of potential there. Before we close this out, the last team I want to kind of discuss is one that has probably the most question marks with how they're going to play this year, and that's the New Orleans Pelicans. They had the most moves out of really anyone this offseason. Also, I want to discuss before we wrap things up here is the team that has the most question marks out of anyone in the NBA, and that's the New Orleans. They've made a ton of moves this offseason, traded their all-star MVP caliber player Anthony Davis to the Lakers. They get back three really good young players in Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart. They got back the fourth pick, which they traded to the Hawks. They end up getting some decent pieces, though. I mean, they got Jackson Hayes, who's going to be a stud in my mind. They got Nikal Alexander-Walker, who's great guard. He was on first team, summer league team. What do y'all think about the Pelicans and what they've done this offseason? Where do you think they'll end up in the standings next year?
Oh, I think they're going to be a sneaky playoff team. I mean, because can you imagine Drew Holiday and Zion together and Okafor and Jackson Hayes? It's going to be crazy, man. It's going to be Lob City too, man. It'll be crazy.
Yeah, they have a lot of interesting pieces for sure. Like you said, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be fun to watch, but in the long term, 82 game season, I don't think they make the playoffs in the West just because of the competition. And I'm pretty sure Zion won't play more than 70 games this year.
That's a good point. I think Zion's injury proneness is still undetermined, really. I don't think he's in game shape right now. I think that was pretty clear in summer league. But their starting lineup is really weird to me because Drew Holiday has been tried and proven there in New Orleans for so long. He's such a good point guard. And you bring in Lonzo, who is, the number two overall pick a couple years ago. He's a great, great player when it comes to makes amazing assists. He doesn't really have a jump shot, so that hurts him a lot. But then you add J.J. Redick to that team, which I don't think you pay J.J. Redick, $13, $14 million for him to sit on the bench and come off the bench. I think he's a starter. And then you got Brandon Ingram, who's your 3-4 guy. Zion's a 3-4 guy. And then, as you said, Joel Okafor's still there. He had a great season last year. He had another resurgence in his career. So I think that's going to be interesting to see if they all play together. I think you're right there, Phil. I think they could end up being a 7 or 8 seed in the West just because that group right there, where you have San Antonio, you have the Rockets, who, as we've already talked about, I don't know if they're going to be as good as they should be. Yeah, San Antonio with the Rockets, you got all those like mid-level teams, the Timberwolves. They're just kind of roaming right there that you don't really know how they're going to end up playing. So I think they could be a sneaky team there. But is there anything closing remarks y'all have for our first ever episode here with the Overtime Heroics NBA podcast?
Yeah, I'm just excited for the season to start to watch all this action unfold, all the drama and action.
Yeah, guys, I can't say I've ever been excited for an NBA regular season as much as this one, just because of all the parity and all the stars spread out across the league, so it should be a good one.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a lot of fun on this podcast. As I said, the rest of summer will be every day starting next week. And then we're also going to be, when the season starts, we'll be hitting it hard, trying to break some news for y'all. We'll try to have some podcasts. And that's going to be a wrap for us here, guys. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter at the Overtime Heroics NBA Podcast. You can catch us on Spotify on overtimeheroics.com. Also, go follow us on our personal Instagram accounts. Mine is NickBushHart1. Philip is Pound the Book. And Tyler is Weekend at Brody's. Go follow us for some all the news and highlights of the NBA as we go throughout this year. We start the season. Preseason's on its way. And we'll catch y'all next week. Have a great one.
Peace.